Good morning, everybody. Or I guess if you're someplace else in the world, I got to say good afternoon or good evening. But whatever it is where you are, it is a special greeting for you, for this is the day the Lord has made, and we're here to rejoice and be glad in it.
Welcome to church. You are watching part of the Robert Schuller Ministries. This is our Sunday morning coming to you live at 8 a.m. Pacific time. Yep. This is our church service. So welcome to church. I'm Donna Schuller. This is Robert Schuller. And we're glad to be with you. And we have all kinds of great messages today. So
yeah, I have been preaching through the I Am statements of Jesus. Last week I talked about I am the way. This morning is I am the truth. And I'll give you one guess what next week is. I am the way, the truth, and the
life.
The life. So next week we'll talk about I am the life. But this morning we're going to be talking about what is truth.
Well, yeah. That's a tough one, especially today, right?
I mean,
what is truth? I can tell you one of my truths. I can tell you a truth right now.
Yeah, tell us.
Just got back from spending 6 days with our youngest daughter, Christina, and her family in Key Biscayne, Florida, and her three kids. She and her husband went away for a couple of days. So actually, me and my dearest friend went with me, and we watched the kids for 2 days. Boy, 2 days is a lot for grandmas. It took two grandmas to watch three kids for 2 days. But we had a great time. And the truth is that there's nothing more important than family. There is nothing more important than family. So if we have a large family because we have four kids, we have nine grandkids, and who knows, God willing, more on the way someday soon, we don't know, but nine's a big number. And, you know, if you have a small family and you're not seeing eye to eye with them, I want to encourage you to do whatever you can to make amends, because there is nothing more important than family. Even if you don't get along, even if you don't see eye to eye, at least, I don't know, maybe drop them an old-fashioned postcard and say, thinking of you. Love so-and-so. Or maybe you don't want to say love. Maybe you want to put a smiley face. But just
wishing you the best.
You know, and if your parents are still living, please be kind to them and nice to them, because, you know, who knows how long they're going to be around. So anyway, I want to say that is the truth, is that family is everything. And
I've got a question for you. What's more difficult, the 3-year-old boy or the 10-year-old boy?
Depends. None of them are difficult. It's just there's three different needs, you know, a little independence. Well, so what about the 7-year-old girl?
Well, that wasn't even a question. No, we know this is the easiest.
Yeah.
So it's more difficult.
She does her
homework.
The 10-year-old
boy or the 3-year-old boy?
You know what? None of them are difficult. It's just you realize as you get older, wow, we have kids when we're younger because we need the energy. And but I loved every minute of it. Got home yesterday, gave Robert some time alone to work on his book.
Yeah.
And
got a lot done.
And we're back. Sunday morning.
You're back.
I'm back, and it's Sunday morning. So anyway, glad to be with you. I hope you're watching the Fearless Minute Monday through Friday. That's my 1-minute little messages Monday through Friday. You have to go to my Instagram channel, The Fearless Minute. And, you know, it's all about ministry. As I'm ramping it up, I just started last week. So it's just 1 minute, Monday through Friday, different themes. And, you know, my idea is to help people become more fearless, meaning more independent thinkers, especially if you're a believer in Jesus, if you're a Christian, to always choose faith and what you know is right over the fear. There's so many fears being slung at us. It doesn't matter what subject you're talking about. The fear is just a prevailing feeling in society. You can see it on people's faces. So I want to encourage people to really pray and meditate on the goodness of God and search for truth. Again, you're talking about truth. What is true? And sometimes, not sometimes, most times, we have to be really fearless to stand up for what is true, not go along with the masses. And, you know, peer pressure is real. So spend time alone and listen to God. make him, he be your number one go-to before you start listening to anything. And by all means, please turn off the news. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's Fox or CNN or CNBC. I can't even name them all because we don't watch news. Please turn it off. Please find someone that's telling the truth. Maybe pick up a program on one of the social media channels, you know, pray about it and throw out most of it, some of it, but stay informed. But please don't just sit there and watch the news. So find the truth.
Well, I have found the best news source being the Epoch Times. Mm-hmm. And so if you're looking for news, you need to watch the news, I would go to Epoch Times. That's E-P-O-C-H Times. It's only online. I think it costs like $10 a month.
Not even. They have a special right now. I was just looking at it because we want to
25 cents a
day. We want to buy it for our neighbor.
And but anyway, it's true news. And it gives you some truth. So I would encourage that. So anyway, I'm just throwing.
We're not sponsored by anybody.
No, we're not sponsored by anybody.
Nobody.
Yeah. So anyway. Oh, look at there. We've got, I'm showing different people who are on
good
this
morning.
Morning.
Good morning, everyone.
So we just, again, want to wish everybody a very beautiful Lord's Day. And so by all means, do go to Donna's new Instagram account and get that 1 minute motivation. It is positive, it is powerful, and it is life transforming.
Well, I hope so.
So, yeah.
Jesus is life transforming. I'm just the vehicle.
Well, right? You're hopefully, the vehicle pointing people to Jesus to find a life transforming message.
I'll spur a little something in your mind within a minute. Mondays are Miracle Mondays. So, I'll be talking about miracles tomorrow.
Cool. So, well, why don't you go ahead and read our scriptures?
Let's come back. We have been reading a lot of Psalms. Robert's been preaching out of the New Testament. I asked him, I said, another Psalm, huh? Because he always chooses a scripture. He said, yeah, I'm preaching out of the New Testament, so I want to read something out of the Psalm. So today, I'm reading Psalm 147. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but he casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain, and he makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor is his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Extol the Lord, Jerusalem. Praise your God, Zion. He strengthens the bars of your gates, and he blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders. He satisfies you with the finest of wheat. He sends his command to the earth, and his word runs swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool, and he scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down his hail like pebbles. Who can withstand his icy blast? He sends his word and he melts them. He stirs up his breezes and the waters flow. He has revealed his word to Jacob, his laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know his laws. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for all these beautiful things that you give us. Thank you for the different seasons. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for the grass on the hills and the cattle you've also placed on the hills. Lord, thank you for everything that we see within a day. Thank you for eyes that can see these things. Lord, we trust you. Even when things don't make sense, we seek the truth. We seek you. You are the real truth. You are the North Star. You are the person and the deity and the three in one Father, Son, Holy Spirit that we are to follow always. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So one of the things we do every Sunday morning is
collect an offering. Yeah, we were saying we're not sponsored. So even though we will tell you, we'll give you some ideas of what we watch, how we lead our life, some of the things, that help us, help Robert write sermons that are, obviously the Bible, number one. But we need your offerings, and you need to give more than we need your offerings. And if you're not giving to this church, please give to another church. Make sure they're telling the truth. Make sure they're not burying their head in the sand on what's going on in the world, what's going on in the nation, maybe your local, your state governments and your city governments and school districts. So make sure you know that you're supporting a church that is not just keeping their mouth closed, but standing up again, being fearless to some of the things that are going on. Because if the church doesn't tell you the truth, where are you going to get the truth? I mean, if a pastor won't stand up and talk about what's going on and strengthen you and encourage you in the name of Jesus to do what's right, where are you going to get that? So we appreciate your gifts, your offerings, your tithes, whatever you can give. But just know that you can never outgive God. God will come back with an unbelievable surprise for you. Maybe you're going to heal a family situation. Maybe you're going to get that promotion at work. Maybe you're going to start your own business. I don't know. Maybe you're going to get a surprise check in the mail. He does oftentimes reward you with financial gain. This isn't why we do this. It's not automatic, but it does happen sometimes. But I guarantee you this, if you give, God's going to give you back much, much more than you ever give in things in your life you can't even begin to imagine. So in order to give to this ministry, what do we do?
There's several things you can do. You can give on Venmo. And I'll throw up the QR code as far as our Venmo is concerned. And also our giving platform on our website. So the best thing to do is go to our website.
And I hope our website.
DrSchuller.org. That's DrSchuller.org. You'll see it here. I just threw it up. You see it there at the bottom, DrSchuller.org. And there's two QR codes, one for Venmo and the other one is for our giving platform. And if you'd rather do it the old-fashioned way by putting a check in the mail or even cash in the mail, if you put cash in the mail.
No, don't put cash in the mail.
Well, some people have done it.
Don't do it. We've also heard we've had envelopes ripped open. I wouldn't put cash in
there. So the address is 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. And if you didn't get that, you can go to our website again, drschuller.org. And if you scroll to the bottom of our website, you'll see it there in very big, bold letters. We want people to know what our address is and how to contact us. So it's nothing we're trying to hide. I mean, I've been on websites where I try to find contact information, and it's
nowhere.
I mean, they hide it, and finally you go under like three or four different tabs and you might find it, or you have to Google, how do I get in touch with?
That's what I usually do with businesses.
Because I don't know, they just want you to use they don't want you to contact and use any of their personnel time.
You can use our personal time.
Yeah, you can use our personnel time. Exactly.
I wanted to say something. Sorry to interrupt you early on about our website. The reason I did that is because our website is under reconstruction. We're redoing our website with, we don't do it personally. We do have, that's the only person that we outsource things to. And he's a very nice gentleman in Iowa, actually. And he's redoing our website. We're going to have a whole new look. It's time to update it after 15 years or whatever. It's been a long time. So if our website isn't working for some reason right now, I had somebody tell me last week they tried to watch Sunday morning, actually more than one person. And that's why we're updating it. It's going to have a whole new look. You're going to go on the website and see what we're doing now, what's current, what's active. And then you'll be able to read about where we came from in our past and all that. But you'll have a lot better clearly marked links. And anyway, it'll just be improved. So just to let you know that, that's what's going on.
Well, there's things we can't share here online, but we do share in our in-person church service. We don't put that online because we talk about things that will be taken down if we talk about it here. We know that I know this to be the case, and it's going to become stronger and more prevalent. It's one of the greatest challenges we have as a nation is to maintain our freedom of speech, and hopefully there'll be some changes made so that that can happen. But what I can tell you is that last night, Don and I had a few moments alone with Robert F. Kennedy, and he told us a story that was really quite shocking. We can't share it here on this on live, but we can share it in person when you come to our church service this morning at 10:30. We're going to be meeting outside because California spends 2 weeks voting.
2 weeks. So our community
start,
center.
Yeah. So it takes place in our community center where we hold our church services. So people can start voting. I believe today is the first day of voting, and they have the next 2 weeks to vote.
And 2 weeks to mess up, make mistakes, turn in a couple different ballots. No,
yeah, to find different ways to
whatever.
So
no ID necessary, by the way.
Yeah.
Nope.
Mm-mm. And then of course you can mail in your ballots here in California. As I mean, it's a little bit crazy. But then what can I say? We live in California, and California is a crazy place. So anyway, hopefully it's no longer the envy of the nation, but anyway, it's what it is.
Exactly. So we'll be outside on the grass, and I feel really bad for those of you.
And we'll be praying for the election.
Oh, we are. That's exactly right. And we even have the election officials come out and say, by the way, do you remember this last time?
Yes.
It's against the something code, you know, named.
Well, you have to be so many feet away.
But you're also not allowed to tell them who to go in and vote for.
We can.
We do. But yeah. No, we don't. We kind of strongly suggest. Anyway, okay, I'm going to take off.
So anyway, if you come this morning, we'll tell you the story about the conversation.
I feel sorry for those of you that would love to be there at 10:30 in Newport Beach, but live in Ohio. So
yeah,
that's
sorry.
Really kind of sad.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to email Robert and he'll tell you.
Yeah. Anyway.
RobertSchulerMinistries@gmail.com. It was a very interesting conversation, but he's a pretty incredible man, RFK Jr. Yeah. I don't think I've ever met anybody smarter.
He's bright.
Okay,
yes,
bye.
He's very bright. So anyway, here we are. And like I said, we're going through the I Am statements of Jesus. And in John chapter 14, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus says in John. And throughout the entire Gospel of John, we see this word truth as a main word that carries throughout the entire Gospel, far more than the other Gospels. In fact, of all the words in the Gospel of John, I should say all the times that the word truth is used in the Gospels and throughout the New Testament, half of them are in the Gospel of John. We see it from the beginning to the end. And so I'm going to be talking a bit about that this morning as we talk about Jesus's statement, I am the truth. And what does that mean when Jesus says, I am the truth? It means that Jesus is the truth personified. It means that Jesus is the truth exemplified. And it means that Jesus is the truth realized. This is what the truth of Jesus means. And we see that as we go through the Gospel of John, and we see how John continues to tell us what truth is. The first thing I want to share with you when you hear the word truth is the literal meaning of the word truth. The literal meaning of the word truth is from from the Greek. Let me see if I can remember. It's because I don't have it on my notes. Oh, yes. Aletheia is the Greek word. Aletheia, which literally means reality. It is real. And that's what the truth means. And again, we see this going on from the very beginning to the very end. And so when I say that Jesus is the truth personified, what do I mean? It means that Jesus is in his own person, in his own being, he is truth. That's why he says, I am the way, which we talked about last week. He is the way. He is the way out. He is the way in. Through. He is the way in. That's what Jesus is. You can go back and listen to that message if you didn't have a chance to listen to it. Here in this message, he says, I am the truth. I am the truth personified, meaning he is truth in his being and who he is. And we know this from, again, the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John opens up with the whole statement that Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. So Jesus has always been, because he, in the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus was always, always has been. He has been involved in the creation. He was involved in the Exodus. He was involved in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. He always has been. He has been involved throughout the life of David and Solomon, throughout the prophets. He has been involved in everything. He is the one of the triune pillars of God. He is one of the, he is the person of the Son of God, and he is the truth. So as you continue to read this very first chapter in John, you get down to verse 14, and it says, the Word, as the same, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then you jump down, that's the first verse, then you jump down to verse 14, and it says, the Word became flesh, that's Jesus, and made his dwelling among us. He lived with us. He was the personified God in truth. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. The person of Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. In 1983, I went through a divorce. It was absolutely devastating for me. I was completely dysfunctional. I didn't know if I could continue my ministry. I didn't know what was going to go on in my life. I was in the lowest point in my entire life. At that time, I met a gentleman by the name of Jerry Chmielewski. In fact, he had been a guest on the Hour of Power a few times, and my father had interviewed him, and he happened to be in town. And he gave me a call, and he says, hey, let's get together. Well, Jerry Chmielewski is more than a family counselor. Today, he does different things with, and more of a, I'm not even sure he would call himself a Christian. He would call himself an enlightened man or something of that nature. But I went and I met with him, and I remember we sat around the pool that in the hotel he was in, and it was a beautiful day, and I could feel the warmth on my skin, and it was a time for me to be able to talk with him and try and find some direction. And for me, it was that conversation was a turning point in my life, and because it pulled me out of this dysfunction and back into the reality of who Jesus is and who God is. And one of the things he asked me, which I found so interesting, was, Robert, what is truth? And I don't know how we got to that conversation. Again, I'm speaking from my memory of almost 40 years ago, actually more than 40 years ago. And it was 83, more than 40 years ago. And my memory is, he said, what is truth? And I tried to think about what truth is. And I said this, that, and the other thing. And he says, Then he kind of pointed me in the right direction. He says, does truth change? I go, no. Truth is truth, which means it doesn't change. It can't be true to what's true today is true tomorrow and always true. No, truth does not change. And he goes, what's the only thing that does not change? And he was leading me to say that truth is God. And that's exactly where I ended up. I'm going, truth is God. And he said, yes, truth is God. And that was an eye-opener for me to understand that God is the only truth we really have. And in our society and in our culture today, where you have fact checkers, and the fact checkers have been told what is truth, even though they don't know what the truth is. For instance, the whole concept of wearing a mask. We were told by Mr. Science himself, Fauci, that in the beginning of the pandemic, that no, masks don't do anything. Then later he changed his tune and said, oh yeah, masks work. Then after that, he says, well, you might as well ask, if one mask works, two masks must work better. So people started wearing masks, then they started wearing two masks. And then a study came out by Cochrane Report, which is considered one of the most honored reports of history, is the Cochrane study, scientific studies. And their bottom line was that masks don't make any difference. The only one that makes even the slight bit of difference is an N95. But if you touch it, then it loses all of its benefits. So people can't wear a mask all day long and receive any benefits from wearing a mask. Well, that's according to Cochrane, who studied like 78 different scientific reports and came up with that conclusion. So here we are living in a society that still is completely perplexed by what's going on with a mask. And it has to do primarily with our science has been captivated by the people who pay for the science. So they want a certain result, they pay for those results, and they get the results. So if you want to put forth a scientific report, all you do is hire somebody to do a test for you, tell them what you want, pay for it, and you'll get the results you want. That's the way science works today. It's been captured by corporate greed, by pharmaceutical industries, and by individuals with ulterior motives and design. Somehow, our society and our culture needs to break away from this concept and this capture of science. And hopefully this message won't be taken down, because I didn't plan on going down this rabbit hole. But I go down here because it brings me back to the conversation with Gerald Jampolsky, where it says, the only truth that we can really know and experience is that God is truth. And Jesus was God in human flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And dropping down to verse 17, and the Word became flesh, full of grace and truth. And truth was personified in Jesus Christ. So when Jesus says, I am the truth, what he is saying is, I am the truth personified. I am the reality of truth. From there he goes, I am the truth exemplified. And he shows us what truth is in his life. His life exemplified truth. What he said, he did. There wasn't anything fake or false about the life of Jesus. Everything he said came true. Everything that was prophesied about him came true. He was the example of what truth is. The word sincere comes from two Latin words, sinna, sera, which means without wax. And you go, what in the world does that have to do with anything? Without wax. So what happened in the ancient Roman times is sculptors would go and sculpt a picture or sculpt a marble thing of a goddess or a god, and then people would buy these idols to display in their houses, or they would sculpt something of a rendition of a wealthy man would hire someone to sculpt something of his wife or himself, or a scene that he wanted, and the sculptor would chisel the life form out of a piece of marble. Well, inevitably, if the sculptor may coming to the end of his work, and all of a sudden his chisel breaks, and he puts a big chip in the piece that was absolutely perfect and beautiful, and there's this chip in the piece. What does he do? What they would do is they would take wax and they would fill in that air with wax. They would take it to the agora, the marketplace, and sell it. And they get good money for it. Now, if they to get the best money, what they would do is they would write at the bottom of it, sine sera, without wax, sincere. Jesus's life, everything he did was sine sera. It was pure. It was perfect. It was complete. He was the example of what truth is. He spoke the truth. He lived the truth. He was the truth. When Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth," he is saying, "I am the truth personified. I am the truth exemplified." And he is saying, "I am the truth realized." He realized what truth was. We participate in the glorious truth of Christ so that we realize what truth is by incorporating Christ into our hearts, into our souls, into our beings, and sharing that truth with God, sharing that truth with our friends, that truth from God. Now, what we read in the Old Testament is that Moses had a veil when he'd go into the Holy of Holies and into the tabernacle of God. He would take the veil off, and when he came out of that, he would put the veil on, because they said his face would glow. And then as time went on, the glow would dissipate, but he left the veil on so the people wouldn't see that the glow had diminished. And therefore, he put this false perception of who he was in front of the Israelites. Moses himself was not sine sera. Moses' life did not represent the truth that Jesus was. Jesus' life was sincere. It was sinless. It was spotless. It was perfect. We see that the glory of God is to be revealed through the life of Jesus. So what do we read? We read Do I want to go into this? Yes, the sanctification of Christ. Sanctification is to be set apart. It is to be purified. And we as Christians, when we realize the truth of Jesus Christ, we incorporate that into our hearts, into our souls, and into our being, and we become sanctified, set apart, purified in the life of Christ. So we read in John 17. So, you know, there's more I could have done. There's so much on this topic. I've got to tell you, I'm going to write this all out, and it'll be in my book that comes out at the end of this year, the first part of next year, which is called Divine Liberations from the Gods of the Woke. But anyway, we read in throughout the Gospel of John, we read about Jesus being the truth, the truth personified, the truth exemplified, and the truth realized. So to the Jews, Jesus said, he said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And then later in 17:17, he says, sanctify them. He's talking to the disciples. We are sanctified by the truth. Your word is truth. And so as we become sanctified in Jesus Christ, set apart, purified, forgiven, we realize the truth of Jesus in his personification, in his exemplification, and his realization. So Jesus says those words during his Last Supper. From there he goes and he is arrested, and the following day he is presented before Pilate. He is tried by Pilate, and he has this conversation with Pilate. Pilate asks, are you a king? Pilate asked Jesus, because the Jews were wanting to have him put to death and wanted Pilate to put him to death. Why? Because he was claiming to be king of the Jews, therefore a threat to the Roman Empire, and therefore deserving of capital punishment in Roman times. So Pilate asked him, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you say that I'm a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. He is there to exemplify for us to realize that he is the truth personified. And everyone on this, so let me read this again. Are you a king? Said Pilate. And Jesus answered, you say that I'm a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, full of grace and truth. That's how the book opens. Now at the end, it concludes with, I was born and came into this world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And Pilate retorted, what is truth? By this time, we've already got the answer to Pilate's question. Pilate doesn't receive the answer to his question because Pilate doesn't care. He only cares about Pax Romana, maintaining peace in Rome, in Jerusalem, at all costs. If it means the crucifixion of the Son of God, if it means the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, so be it. And so he condemned Jesus to death. What is truth? We have the answer to what truth is. Truth is Jesus personified. It is Jesus exemplified. It is Jesus realized when we invite him into our hearts, into our souls, into our minds, and accept him as the Son of God, the Word incarnate, and move towards sanctification and living a life to the best of our abilities to be honest with ourselves. And honesty means that we confess that we are sinners, that we have failed, that we are not sinicera, that we are constantly trying to put on the perfect face to be people we are not, to be better than we are. And yet, that's what we do. And so we come before Jesus, we confess our sins, and we ask for his forgiveness. And in his grace and in his truth, he brings us into his family. For when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, the rest of the statement is, no one comes to the Father except through me. And that was his answer when he says, I am going to the Father to prepare a place for you. I am going to have your room. I am preparing your room for you. And that is the truth. The truth is that Jesus is truth personified, exemplified, and realized. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you touch our hearts and our souls and our minds with your goodness and your reality. And so as we ask that question, what is truth? May we come to the realization that the truth is found only in Jesus Christ. And so we thank you for giving him to us, that we might realize and witness the personification and the exemplification of truth. So we love you, Lord. We praise your name always and forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord grant you his peace. You're lying down and you're rising up in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen. Hey, go to our website, drschuller.org, drschuller, and support this ministry. Just click on the I'd Like to Give button and become a recurring donor. $5 a week, $10 a month, $1 a day. Whatever it is, make a contribution and support this ministry, and God will bless you for it. His abundances are real. His promises are true. And you can be confident that he cares for you. God loves you, everybody. He is blessing you.